From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Simon was called Peter and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Feast of St. Andrew not only helps us to focus on this great follower and fisher for the Lord, but also on the real meaning of Advent. St. Andrew's feast day, by divine coincidence, is always at the very beginning of Advent, because we're able to learn from him something essential about this season. Andrew, we know, was there at the Jordan with John the Baptist. John the Baptist is one of the great Advent figures, the one chosen by God from eternity to be the precursor Domini, the forerunner of the Lord. He was there preaching, as we'll hear this Sunday and next, about the need to make straight the paths for the Lord, to lower the mountains of our pride, to fill up the valleys of a shallow prayer life. It was there that Andrew was with him, listening to John, following John, preparing for that encounter with the Lord when the Lord would come. He's in exactly the place each of us is called to be at the beginning of Advent. And then Jesus appears, and John says those words we hear every Mass: "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John didn't have to say to Andrew at that point, "Do you think you'd like to follow him?" Or, go after him. All he did after that period in which Andrew was prepared was to say, "That's the one." And Andrew immediately left John and engaged in his short-lived tenure as a bad private investigator, trying to tail Jesus together with Philip. But Jesus knew that he was being followed, and he turned around, as we know, and said, "Whom do you seek?" And then, trying to change the question, they said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Jesus invited them into his own by saying, "Come and see." Then they spent that whole time. But Andrew's first value for us at the beginning of this season of Advent is to show what that preparation's meant to lead to. This encounter with Christ, for which we're appearing in history, mystery, and majesty, this encounter is vocational. It's not just any old collision between two people. Jesus comes into this world precisely to call us. And we can learn from St. Andrew how to respond to that call, following the Lord, seeking to be with him as he stays. Advent is a time for us to renew our sense of vocation. The Lord continues to come for us in these ways, to strengthen us in our call, to call us more deeply, to make us more and more united with him, so that we can, in fact, through that very process, become precursors of the Lord for others to be able to find and follow that same Lamb. And that leads to the second point we see which likewise is relevant in this Advent season in terms of how we're supposed to live it. Andrew couldn't keep Jesus to himself. He had to spend at least a whole day with Jesus at that initial encounter, because St. John tells us that it was about nightfall for the beginning of the Sabbath. So you couldn't move during the Sabbath, and there he was with Jesus almost for a full day. But as soon as it was possible to travel, Andrew booked it to his brother Simon to say, "We have found the Messiah." And then he led his brother to Jesus. Little did he know what Jesus' plans would be for Simon. You are called Simon, son of Jonah. From now on you will be called Cephas, he says. Andrew had no clue that before the Lord had said fiat lux, he had in mind that he would build his church on Andrew's own brother. All Andrew did was bring his brother to Jesus and let Jesus handle the rest in the great mystery of the Lord's love. But we similarly are called to burst forth with our own discovery of how we ourselves have been found. We ourselves have been called. We ourselves have been loved. Trying to bring others to Jesus so that Jesus might be able to call them and fulfill their purpose for having been made. This summoning Simon was just the first. This was a habit all life long for Andrew. Andrew, we know, was the one who brought the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Again, little did he know the extraordinary miracle that Jesus would do with that simple starting material. He just brought the boy and the loaves and fish to Jesus, and Jesus did the rest. Similarly, around the time of the Passion, when the Greeks came to Philip and said, "We wish to see Jesus," Philip went to the great bridger, Andrew, and Andrew was the one who brought the Greeks to Jesus. And as soon as they had arrived, Jesus inaugurated the fulfillment of his messianic calling. Now the time is fulfilled. Now will the Son of Man be glorified. Again, Andrew simply brought others to Jesus, not knowing what it would trigger. In Advent, it's so important for us just to bring people to Jesus. We might think that all we're inviting people to is a prayer service on the first Sunday of Advent. We might think that all we're inviting them to is to sing carols with us. The Lord may have far greater plans. But like John the Baptist, we are called to be those matchmakers, to point Jesus out, and then to trust in Jesus to be able to do the rest. In today's first reading, St. Paul said words that we should always ponder in our faith. 2 different things. First, about our discipleship. We'll be saved if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Salvation involves these 2 moments. First, faith in the heart. Not just faith in the head. Faith in the real core of who we are, in the sight of our affections, that our faith is always drenched in love, that we believe deep down inside that Jesus is Lord, that he's Kyrios, that he's the creator and the ruler of everything, that he is the Savior. But then there's a second moment. Once we believe, we have to expire. We have to exhale. We have to bring that to others. We have to confess with our lips. Andrew's faith led him precisely to do this, as we've seen with his brother, as we've seen with others. And it has to happen in us too. We'll get back to this in a second. But at the very end, St. Paul says, how can others call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they believe if they haven't heard? How can they hear without someone to preach? And how can people preach unless they're sent? In Advent, as we renew our calling, that Jesus comes to say, come follow me, At the same time, we recognize that there's a second moment, that there's a second verb in Jesus' lexicon. After saying come, he always says go. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go into the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. That we are sent to preach. Andrew, as we know, was an apostolos, someone sent out. He was called by the Greeks the Protocletus, the first one called, but we could call him the Proto-Apostolos. Even before he was named an apostolos, he was off bringing word of Jesus to others. And that vocation as one sent was lived out to the very end. I've always been extraordinarily moved by the image of St. Andrew's martyrdom. It happened in Patras, in that Achaia region to the northwest of Greece. It was there that he was to be crucified on a decusset or X-shaped cross. I'm sure you know that the way we die in crucifixion is by asphyxiation. It's not literally because of the excruciating pain, it's because you can't breathe. For Jesus, as we know, when they had nails through the nerves of his feet and they had hammered him in such a way, the only way that he would be able to speak any of the seven words was that if he lifted himself up in agonizing pain in order to exhale. When you bind somebody on a decusset cross, you take away the ability of his quadriceps to push up and exhale. Literally, the only way that you would be able to keep your lungs from collapsing is by speaking. You just constantly have to be speaking, breathing at the same time, basically, as you are speaking. Otherwise, you choke to death. So for the last 38 hours of his life, he was preaching Christ from that decusset cross. And people were amazed as more and more people came to witness this feat of this man dying to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Dying with his words to bring them to him who is the resurrection and the life, the one who was giving them hope at that very minute. I've always looked at that image as aspirational, that I want to go to my own death, proclaiming the Lord with every ounce of oxygen left, even at the moment when I'm dying, to try to bring at least one more to the same treasure who has enriched me. That's what this encounter in Advent is meant to provoke. That type of passion, to spend oneself fully, all the way, until the last breath, in calling others to that same Messiah who invites us to come and see where he lives, not just here in this world, but in the Father's house. As we come forward today on St. Andrew's feast day, as we ponder his calling, his following Jesus, his bringing others to Jesus, and his proclaiming Jesus to the ends of the earth, we remember that he was present in the upper room on the 14th of the month of Nisan, when Jesus, in fulfillment of the Passover rite, and in fulfillment of what he had said 1 year prior, that unless we gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood, we will have no life in us. Andrew witnessed him take bread and wine into his hands, change them into himself, and say, take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood. Do this in memory of me. Andrew received that Lord within. For the rest of his life, he did in fact do that in that Messiah's memory. Today, as we continue that same following of the Lord's supreme command, let us ask St. Andrew to help us to grow in our vocational awareness and the joy with which we spread word that we have found the Messiah, in bringing others to Jesus and proclaiming him on our lips as we grow in faith in our hearts. Their message goes out through all the earth. May the Lord say that about me and the sisters. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.